Good evening, kings and queens, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. You are now tuned in to Accelerated Radio's Worldwide Underground. I am your host, King Ed. It is January 17th, 2020. Brother Dante, how was your week, sir?
I had a really good week. I had a really busy, full, productive week.
Yes, yes. We're going to play some music. I find music centers me. And when we get back, I'm going to introduce you to my guest who's going to help you gain your center and melt away stress. Again, I use music. And if you can meditate without using drugs or alcohol, that's a great way to go. You're listening to Accelerated Radio's Worldwide Underground. Welcome back home. I love LA. I love the fact that this weekend we will be saluting Dr. Martin Luther King in the city of Inglewood, in the city of Los Angeles. It is one of those events where my young and I, we come together and we don't always have to get along and love on each other. And unfortunately, I've seen more of my family at funerals recently than at positive, loving gatherings where we can tune into a loving, caring, happy, fulfilling vibration where you'll feel like, wow, it was so good to just, you know, feel this person's energy right now. My guest tonight is going to help us tap into what is important, what is real, you know, what is bullshit that will consume us if we aren't vigilant and know that, you know, there is a specific vibration and frequency set for me, for my happiness. And this is a gentleman who's going to help us tap into it. Give it up for Brother Rama. Brother Rama, what is your title? You are a...
Well, I'm an IT consultant, so I try to figure out how things go wrong and then to repair them. So it's all about a structure and a sequence. And once you know that, you can shift it.
You can apply that to...
anything.
Anything.
Listen, my wife makes these amazing keto-friendly cookies without sugar.
Mm.
So she has a specific recipe. So if you want to make those cookies, you got to do what?
You better follow her instructions.
Exactly. It's the same thing with stress and all the grief and all the suffering. There's a sequence and structure to it. That's what I call societal stress, modern day experience stress. All the technology, all this stuff, social media, it produces a certain level of stress.
Mm.
There's another stress, what I call situational stress, like conflict, disappointments, expectations. You're supposed to be something and it doesn't happen. You're driving in traffic and you're like, ah, that's situational. Okay. Then there's another stress called the sense of self. What do I mean by that? Think about everything you do to avoid pain and seek pleasure, to seek someone who praises you. And then what happens when someone criticizes you? So my question becomes, how many praises does it take to neutralize a criticism?
Wow. You know, and this is a deep conversation. One of my young and I were having a heated debate about how, you know, what I am going through, I need to know that other people are emotionally vested and on my side. I need your confirmation that what I am doing is, and they weren't getting it from everybody. They're going to get it from Dad, of course. They're going to get it from me. What happens when, and I ask from both sides of that coin, when you demand that others empathize with you and ride with you, should you cut them off? And then on the other side of that coin, okay, wow, I can see what's going on in your situation. And I'm someone who's close enough to care about you. Unfortunately, I'm trying to deal with my own stuff. So you may have to cut me off because I'm not going to emotionally invest myself in your drama. How do you balance that? What are those two things called and how do you balance that?
Okay, tells a story. So many, many moons ago when I was in the yoga community, you know, I had one of the women friends and they said, oh my God, I just got out of this relationship and I left the guy. I said, the problem is you took yourself with you. And interestingly enough, a few months later, they're going out with the same guy. He just looks a little different with a different name.
Wow. A lot of times we go into these relationships with demands and baggage, and then we leave with our same baggage wondering why. And then we are somehow hardwired to be attracted to that thing that is us. And instead of trying to correct that flaw in our own character, we subconsciously look for it in others, and then we get on them about not being right. Is that what you just said?
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. So you're looking for somebody, or this is one of the things I would share with him. So he said, you know, my boyfriend's not giving me what I want. I said, have you told him what you want? Well, no. So I said, let me get this straight. You want someone to give you something. You haven't given a description, what it feels like, what it smells like, what it tastes like. And then you're disappointed when they don't give it to you?
Sounds like female. Well, let me stop. I'm not going to go down that
road. It works both ways, men and women, because, you know, we kind of keep attracting those things that are floating in our mind and our consciousness and our feelings. If they're unresolved, I mean, listen, you're looking for your other half. You'll never find it. You've got to start with wholeness and completion in your heart, in your mind, in your emotions.
Be that thing you are desperately seeking.
Be the change you seek. Do you remember who said that?
No, who said that?
Brother Barack Obama.
Heck my brother Barack Obama. He's rolling down Obama today. And you know, that is one of the things that we have a difficult time with. You know, it's so quick to judge others, most of us, when in all honesty, we don't have it together ourselves. And I've been approached recently, and someone asked, are you in a relationship? I said, no, I'm not. And I had my soundbite ready. How come? Because I'm still getting me together. And I am sincerely trying to put myself in a place, in a position where any woman who may have to tolerate me.
Exactly.
She will know that, okay, well, I don't have to worry about his insecurities or lack of finances or anything else. I need to be that which, if she does dump me, I'll have to scratch my head like, damn it, I was everything. What happened? So before I even embark on a relationship such as that, I gotta fix me.
Yeah, exactly. Look, the reality of relationships is, if you do not cultivate the space of love in your heart, in your body and mind, how are you going to know it's there in another person? I'll give you a quick story. I was in Peru, Machu Picchu, 94, around that time. And so there was a spiritual event that I went to, amazing, powerful. If you've ever been to Machu Picchu, it is incredible. You've got to go. So I'm sitting in Cusco, and they're doing this ceremony there. And so I asked them, hey, beloved one, I'm interested in my soulmate. He goes, okay. He goes, get up. I said, all right. Okay, go to the bathroom. Okay. Look in the mirror. Okay. What do you see? Well, I don't see anything. He said, beloved one, if you are not able to see the reflection of love in the mirror of your own heart, how do you plan to attract that person? And then how would they know that you were actually there? So I said, what should I do? He said, I want you to look in the mirror, and I want you to see in your heart full of love. See your whole mind, body full of love. See it, feel it, smell it, taste it, sense it. Walk around with it. And guess what happened 2 years later?
The love of your life came to you.
Exactly. And I knew the moment I met her, because I could feel that energy, the vibration, whatever you want to call it. And my whole being just lit up and says, that's the one.
Wow. That is amazing. I want to change the subject a little bit. You said Machu Picchu so many times. I start thinking he was near one of the celestial gateways. Did you guys see any orbs in the sky or any?
There was a lot of stuff going on. It's, you know, it really depends how open you are, right? So I say be open and be skeptical at the same time, but be open first. Skepticism is fine because you want to find out for yourself. There's a lot of incredible science is saying there's like 10 dimensions or whatever, auras. I mean, you could get one of these. What are they called? You go to any spiritual event. They give you, put your hand on something and they can see an aura around you. Colors and everything.
My guest tonight, IT consultant Rama. He has some in-depth insights into tapping into what I would like to consider the chakra that is peace, the chakra that is meditation. And I often imagine if Bruce Lee was, you know, around, you know, as dynamic as he was physically, I would love to watch him just sit, regulate his heartbeat, and get into a relaxed state. How do we maneuver this planet and deal with all our distractions and at the same time find time, if we know how to, open that chakra that will say, you know what, I'm going to turn off all this nonsense and try to meditate without adding any psychotropic medications or alcohol?
Well, that's a good question. I think the first of all, you need to realize that when you're stressed, you think, feel, and act in ways you normally don't do. So you got to be conscious of that. You got to listen to your neurology. When there's tightness and tension, you have to realize that your mind and body is in a crisis state, something called fight or flight. If you do not resolve that, anything you do will maintain and create more crisis, what I call the crisis channel. Think about it. Whenever you've been pissed off or somebody's triggered you, do you wind up doing something that you regret?
Sometimes you might get smacked up. If depending on who you do it to, if you do it to my young, if you attack my young, I might catch a case. Property, it depends. But me personally, I don't care what you say. I consider myself being that calm of being to where, unless you are just a bigoted racist and you're spitting on me when you say it, I don't care much what comes out of your mouth. That what comes out of your mouth is more a reflection of who you are.
Exactly.
Now, when you touch my young, when whoever you are touches my young, now something bad can happen to you. But for the most part, I consider myself a calm person who rationally assesses situations and makes good decisions.
Sure.
How do we help those who aren't quite there?
It's very simple. So I just want you to think for a moment how much time, how much energy, how much effort it requires experiencing and dealing with stress. Like, for example, this week, you said you had a death in the family. That's definitely stressful. But I want you to talk about everyday experience. How much, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how much time and energy and effort do you think spent on modern day stress, conflict, and stuff with your own your heart and mind?
Death, that's about 40 hours of your week. Because, and that also depends on your role.
Sure.
I, for example, I play the role in my family of nurturer, comforter. I don't even get to mourn. It's, oh, I'm sorry. Tell me what it is I can do. And when you say something like that, tell me what it is you can do. A lot of times people will test you and say, okay, yeah, I need you. So you may spend 30 to 40 hours of your week.
Yes.
Preparing to send a loved one, you know, to their home going. So.
Yes.
That can be stressful.
Absolutely. Those things are definitely stressful because that's the reality of life, right? We're born and we die. And then absolutely, if you're calm and collected like you, because you have played a certain role in your life, people almost expect you to be the caretaker, not recognizing your grief yourself. And instead of saying, well, you need to take care of me, they don't have compassion. They say, wait a minute, what can we do for you, brother? See, that's someone that's caught in their own ideas and concept instead of saying, wait a minute, this brother's had a death in the family. Let me have some compassion. Say, what can we do for you, brother? Can we cook something? Can we come over? Is there something you need done so that way you can take time to just experience the loss? to be with your family, be with your friends. That's what I call being compassionate and seeing that when someone is being stressed, to honor their space by allowing them to have their experience instead of saying, what about me, boss? I mean, and then you wind up doing what my guru friend used to say all the time. I'm surrounded by idiots, but I keep attracting you all because I'm the biggest one. I mean, you wonder why if all you got to do is look around people that have a lot of anger and hatred. Who are they surrounded by? What kind of conversations do they have?
If you're in a room with nine broke people, chances are you're the 10th broke person.
Well, that's a little different. I'm talking about just everyday emotional entanglements. You know, the fastest way to realize you're in stress is your body will let you know this tension and tightness. So I want you to think about, beyond this death situation, something that caused you to be stressed. And then I want you to share with me what's happening when you think about that experience in terms of your body, in terms of your mind, in terms of your emotion. Think about a specific situation.
My daughter leaving for the military.
Okay.
And not so much my daughter. I mentioned it last week. I served in the United States Marine Corps.
Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you. And there were at least three gentlemen who I love you, gentlemen. My brothers who have instilled the same esprit de corps, love for country, respect for the flag in their children. And three of those gentlemen have sons in the Marine Corps as we speak.
Wow.
So
that's an amazing sacrifice.
That's
for people who put their heart, mind, and soul to serve this country. I'm truly honored with that.
It may actually have you questioning your own, like you said, your philosophy to where if I lose my child, if I voted for Trump and I lose my child,
yeah,
you know, can you imagine the double entendre of, well, damn it, I still love this country, and damn it, I would give that sacrifice of my most prized possession again if, woo.
All right, let's get back to when you think about your daughter leaving, what do you feel in your body? What do you feel in your mind? What do you feel in your emotion?
Anxiety.
Okay, very good. Now, if you want to do this practice, I recommend the people that are listening don't be doing while driving heavy machinery or driving a car. So I want you to close your eyes right now. And I want you to notice, sense, and experience the space between and around your eyes, as if you could tell the distance between the left and right eye. Just feel that completely. And at the same time as you're noticing the space between and around your eyes, notice and sense the space between your chin and your chest. And now add the experience of the space that's around your neck, your head, and your shoulders. And now, notice how easy that was. And you're fully conscious, fully present. And then notice now, what are you noticing that's different in your mind, body, and your emotions?
I'm breathing.
Come on, tell me, what do you notice about the body, mind, and emotion now?
I almost fell out of my chair.
Okay, so where is the tension and tightness that was there before?
I don't know. It melted away. How did you do that?
So what you're saying was it was only temporary, brought on by a previous memory of an experience that has not happened yet.
Wow. I'm worried about something that may or may not even ever happen.
Okay, so your mind is manufacturing a crisis when nothing has actually happened. The truth is she's going, but has it happened yet?
No.
But you're actually telling me a story about a conversation you had, so actually it wasn't even the real thing. And then what did you do? I actually had you notice something that took how much energy, how much effort, how much time?
I took my mind off of that thing that was, you know, the question and the worry and the tension. And by the time I tried to make my eyeballs touch each other and noticed for the first time, there's actually distance between my chin and my chest. I was literally so relaxed that all you did was touch me and I almost fell out of my chair. So,
right. So think about how much energy, effort, and time you expended from the first initial experience to now telling the story. And what did your body, mind do? Tightness and tension. Now, as you continue to feel and sense the space around your head, neck, and shoulders, notice that it's gone, like as if it never existed. So what just happened was your mind and your awareness realized that it's only temporary and transitory, and it was actually manufactured by a concept of something that actually has not happened yet, which means it was manufactured by your mind, which means you caused your own stress through programming and conditioning that you've been told. If this happens, you should feel that way. If that doesn't happen, feel that way, which means you're thinking, feeling, and acting as if it was a program running in your mind.
We create our own stressors.
Well, who created the stress and the tension and tightness when we were talking, having a good time, even during the break? There wasn't any tension and tightness, right? You were enjoying, you were listening to the music, and then you brought up a memory of a conversation. And what happened to your body, mind, and emotion?
Tightened up.
But is it there now?
It was gone immediately once I started to focus on anything else. As soon as I focused on your conversation, just right. That fast.
So let's gone. Take this one more time. I want you to think of another stressful situation. Tell me about it. And then I want you to, as you're saying it, I want you to notice what's happening in the body, mind, and emotion. Like you have this internal biofeedback loop called your awareness. Go ahead. Tell me something stressful that happened recently. Beyond
okay,
the day.
Okay. There was a young lady involved in a car accident. And it was a road rage situation where.
Okay, so what are you feeling right now when you think about the road rage situation, the woman's story?
Her panic of the guy going off on her and she making sure her door's locked.
What are you feeling right now when you think about her panic? Emotionally, mentally, and physically.
Her anxiety, it wasn't bothering me, it was bothering her. And
but when she was telling you that, you felt that anxiety, right?
I felt her anxiety.
Okay, great. So now close your eyes again. Notice and sense and experience the space between and around your eyes. Notice, sense, and experience the space between your chest and your chin. And now add the experience of the space that's around your neck, your head, and shoulders. And notice how easy and effortless and instantaneous the experience of that space is. And now notice what's happening in the mind, what body, mind, and emotions.
Heart rate drop.
Say that again, a little bit closer.
My heart rate dropped.
So you're saying to me that you actually did nothing because in this space there's no thing, and you're having a neurophysiological, biological shift without effort. Would that be true?
Yes.
Do you know how many years it takes for people that are meditating to achieve this state that you just achieved in like 30 to 40 seconds?
Or how many drugs they have to take or how much they have to drink? I can only imagine.
Well, let's talk about the drugs and alcohol, okay? So you're stressed out, right? You're going to have, let's say, a beer the first night. You feel good, right? But you still haven't resolved the cause of the stress.
That's
you've done
right.
What I called avoid dance. You've done something else, but the body realizes it's not been resolved. So what does it do? The next night, you got to have two beers. And then you're thinking, oh, if I just had enough beers, but now you're causing more damage to the system without resolving
the
initial tension-causing activity. In your case with the woman, it was actually called secondhand stress because she's telling you and you're feeling the anxiety of her, which means that it was her experience and you're stressing out about it. But who's causing that?
Some asshole with railroad road rage.
Exactly. But did you notice what happened? Not only did your heart rate drop, but what else did you notice? So continue experiencing the space around your head, neck, and shoulders, and let's continue to talk. What are you noticing when that happens?
When I focus on
the space
around my eyes, around my head and shoulders and neck, it's almost as though I'm removing tension wires. Almost like you can not hear them snap, but you know they're not there anymore. And it's like, you know what? I can relax my muscles. I can relax my shoulders. I don't have to worry about being tense or tight.
Right.
It's one of those things where as soon as I focus on, you know what? I don't need that anymore. I can relax.
So these thoughts of naturally relaxing just start to appear versus the racing mind when there's tightness and tension. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Now, you want to notice something. Not only did the stress neutralize, but your body, mind, and emotion were left with calmness, tranquility, and then you said the heart rate dropped. So these are side effects, not only of the stress neutralizing, but your body is now lingering. Your mind is more clear, maybe?
Your focus or your body or your energy is moving towards that. It almost becomes a attainable. There it is. That's where I want to be, right there.
Yeah.
Imagine, I'm trying to draw a picture in my mind.
Sure.
When I.
Well, just notice the space again and allow a picture to appear from the experience you're having in your mind, body, and emotion, and see what happens. Sense what happens. Again, notice and sense the space between and around your eyes. Mm-hmm. Adding the experience of the space between your neck and your chin. And then also adding the space, the experience of the space around your neck, head, and shoulders. And then just go a little bit deeper into the experience of the space around your head, neck, and shoulders at the same time. That was about another 45 seconds or so, I would say, maybe, if that much. Tell me what's going on. Tell everybody what's going on in your mind, body, and emotion.
I can see the bottom of a little creek. I can see the rocks at the bottom. And the water is less than 2 inches deep. And it's flowing so slow that I could put a paper boat on it. And it's not going to go too fast or too far. I could put me on it.
Yes.
And I'm not going too fast or too far. I'm just floating down.
Yeah, so there's a space of like neutrality, but simultaneous tranquility. What else? What other words would you use from that experience that you're having right now, the experience of space?
Pure. Fresh. Clean.
What do you notice in your emotions?
Calm.
In your mind.
Rest.
Nice. Now, how many times have we done this? Like 3 times now? 4 times?
Yeah, man. I can get into this.
So the idea is, think about this now, okay? So you walk around with this tightness tension. Remember, I'm surrounded by idiots. Then what kind of people you attract when your mind is tight, the body is tense, your emotions are racing? What kind of people do you think will see you? What kind of people do you think will be activated by you? And then you're blaming them, you're blaming society, you're blaming other people for the manufactured crisis that you have based on a story, based on something that happened 2-3 weeks ago that may actually not happen yet. Who's the one causing the problem? I'll take it one step deeper. We're on a planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you noticed the planet is spinning?
No, I have not noticed.
Well, the day and night, right?
Okay.
So something is happening.
Something's going on.
And you do notice that throughout the year, there were different distances from the sun. So there's these different seasons, even in LA, right?
It's warmer, it's colder, yes. I've noticed that.
So that means it's spinning and moving, right?
Okay.
So if something is spinning and moving, then where is your problem? Can you locate it on something that's constantly spinning and moving?
That's a great way to look at it. You would literally have to focus on something that probably is not even going to be there.
So the moment it arises, it disappears, because on something that's spinning and moving, it no longer exists.
It's not even there.
So let's take this one step further. So that means that you're telling me that the moment you experience the situation, it disappeared because it can no longer exist in the same way. You can never step in the same river twice. So now you're actually manufacturing a tightness and tension in your mind, which means you have that much power to manufacture a crisis. Then what is the problem with your life? If you can manufacture crisis, what else do you think you can do with the same intensity that you manufacture crisis? What if you could shift it through the experience of space, and now you're in that calmness, you're floating, and look how fast your mind came up with that experience.
I saw it. I just saw it.
Not only did you see it, but you experienced it. So what if you could imagine if you did this simple practice, 30 to 40 seconds, 6 to 10 times a day, you'd be lingering throughout your day in calmness, serenity, clarity, harmony. And what kind of people would you attract and activate? I mean, do you think you have 3 minutes to 4.5 minutes throughout the day? Like when you get up in the morning and you experience a space, when you're on the loo, before you sit in your car, before you get out of your car, when you go to your desk. I mean, I'm talking about 30 to 45 seconds, brothers and sisters.
It'll create a vibration that when you say hello to someone, they'll feel that energy you just came out of.
So you're saying that because you were activated by a stressful story, and now you will activate the lateness dissolving of stress and leave the person with calmness and clarity as you walk and go about your business? Is that something that's interesting to anybody?
That's pretty deep.
Well, you're doing that now based on ideas and concepts that are not even your own. If you really think about it, by the time you're 20 years old, you've had 100,000 hours worth of programming, and most of it is a crisis channel programming. Most of it is opinions, ideas, and concepts that you haven't even investigated if they work for you. Think about it. You were told by the time you were 7, because your mind doesn't develop, your sense of self doesn't develop to around 7-ish. This is what the experts say. So until 7 years old, you've been just taking in this nonsense from people who don't know better.
Other people's dogma.
Exactly. So I'll give you a simple story. So there was this newlywed couple. They were at their in-law's house, and the woman was cooking in the roast. And the husband was in there, and she chops the ends of the roast off. And the husband goes, well, why did you do that? She goes, I don't know. My mother always did it. And so the mother happens to be there because it's a family event. She goes, hey, mom, did you cut the ends of the roast off? She goes, yeah. Well, why did you do that? Well, I always did that because my mother did it.
Wow.
So the grandma's in the other room, you know, playing with the grandkids, and go, hey, grandma, can we chat with you for a second? What's up, dear? Well, can you come here? There's a question I want to ask you. Did you chop the ends of the roast off before you put it in the oven to make it? She goes, yeah. She goes, why did you do that? Oh, because my pan was too small.
Fast forward, that ain't an issue no more, but the family tradition of chopping the roast remains. Here's a relatable question, too, with something Dante and I were talking about.
Sure.
You look for a vibration. You get to a place where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
But in your day-to-day, you have to deal with powers that be who don't want to be fair and share what is rightfully yours.
Sure.
And you have negotiation tables to go to.
Yes.
Power does not succeed without a fight. They're going to convince you that you're going to fight. You're going to be in this vibration with us until we decide to fairly give you what you deserve. How important is it that you meditate and go into those battles? Because those battles are going to come.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, I'm not about denying what's happening. As a matter of fact, I want you to expect that stressful situations are going to come up. Once you realize that this life, you're going to have sorrow, you're going to have joy. In Hindi, it's called kabhi khushi, kabhi gham. There's going to be happy, there's going to be sorrow. It's just the nature of life. Once you realize that that's the truth, and then you start practicing this very simple practice, and you are now vibrating in an awareness of a real sense of calm and clarity that is yours. Mm. The one thing I want you to realize, that the calmness and clarity just showed up as if it was already there, unique to you. Mm. So that means that in the same energy that does all this chaos, which is absolutely true, how can you get such incredible calmness and clarity within 30 seconds? Not only does it neutralize the tension and tightness, but you're left with calmness and clarity. Now, what if you practice this religiously, like you're doing your own trauma drama or crisis programming, or being with people that all they're doing is telling you their sorry-ass stories of their crisis? Have the compassion. I meant to say that a little more compassionately, of course. But then realize that, is this the energy field you want to be around? Love them, accept them, do your own practice, and watch what happens. This is not something esoteric. Because if you realize that, okay, I'm causing it, now I have a way of shifting into the different potentialities that exist in the same space, I'm going to deliberately choose to do that. And then find out for yourself, okay? Because the challenge with a lot of these concepts and ideas, you get some information, you're all excited, and somebody else comes along, tells you different information, you're like, wait a minute, I haven't practiced the first one. Until you realize that the stress is caused by your programming, by the concepts, and there's nothing, what can you do about 100,000 hours worth of programming? It's like Niagara Falls.
Okay, realistically, how long does it take to reboot and download new programming? I mean, is this something that, okay, I've practiced it a couple of times, I'm good to go now, or, I just reverted back to my training?
I don't even think that way. Because the reason I don't think that way, because first of all, I realize if I cause my stress and now around me, within me, is this energy of calmness and clarity, and I can activate it in 30 seconds, then I'm not interested in finding new programming or trying to dissolve other programming. Guess what happens? The idea that you need to fix and dissolve programming is itself a program. I'll give you an example. When you get enraged, right, your body has certain emotions, right? You wind up saying something you don't like and you regret. So then you do what's called the regret program, right?
The regret program.
And then you do something called the judgment, criticism, blame program. It's still, you're in crisis. You're still tight and tense. And then your mind says, well, we need to do what's called the forgiveness program. Think of how much energy, tension, and tightness you've just gone through and nothing has been resolved. Now I come along and say, hey, just notice and sense this space between and around your eyes. Notice and sense the space between your neck and your chin. Notice and sense the space between and around your head, neck, and shoulders. And you're like, whoa. Right now, you just did that. What did you notice?
I noticed that when I'm there, that is the best time to seek resolve for whatever crisis that I decided, let me focus. Let me close my eyes. And as soon as I went in there, as soon as we start talking, I thought to myself, now that I'm in here, let me decide what is the best way to deal with this crisis. So my emotions were totally out of the equation. I had a time to reflect. A lot of times we don't give ourselves time
to reflect. Your mind and body and emotions are in a crisis. How are you going to find the time? If you don't get out of crisis, you're going to continue to create crisis. Remember I said anger program, judgment, criticism, blame, guilt, shame. And then you got to run the forgiveness program. All those are same and different crisis programs.
This has been one of my really, really quick shows. I need 2 hours. You got to come back, Brother Rama.
I will come back. And you keep practicing.
Yes.
Because what I want to share with you, the space you're in, not only has the calmness and serenity, but it has clarity. That's what was coming up for you. An openness of energy that goes, wait a minute. I am now open for the possibilities of resolution and more.
And more. Resolution and to all my sports fans out there. Who live and die with these wins and losses, know that there's so much more to life and your own personal opportunities instead of putting all of your energy into the wrong things. That's what I got out of today. Tonight's episode was a lesson on focusing on the right things, the things we do have control over, and not putting our energy into the wrong things. Brother Rama, it has been a pleasure. Let the people know how they can get in touch with you. Are you on any social media platforms?
I'm on Facebook. The easiest way to get to me is neutralizestress.com. I have a free audio MP3 that you can download that you can practice because it's just not about information. Just like we were with a brother, when he experienced it, the shift happened. And I want to remind you, the shift happens all the time when you're open to it. It's right here in the same space that's around you, that flows through you, that's within you all of the time. Just open up to that.
It is a seeking enlightenment. You have to be on a personal, individual journey to seek enlightenment. And I wasn't joking earlier. I do believe that there is a higher being, a higher form of life who looks down on our poor, sad, primitive selves and think to themselves, if they just opened up a little bit,
hey,
you know.
It's been written about all over the place. We're too busy listening to others as opposed to listening to teachers like Martin Luther King.
There it is.
One man, a black man, caused the revolution. You don't think it's possible for you if he can do it? What's the difference? Same blood, same energy.
I think that is. Oh, we got a call. Caller, you're on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Samali calling.
Miss Somali Inez?
Hi, and it's my sister Joy's on the line with me.
We got less than a minute, ladies. How's your Friday night going? Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you caught some of the show. It was very tranquil. It was very enlightening. It was very empowering.
Yeah, your speaker, Rama, he is a very enlightened being.
You're too kind, Somali. Thank you.
Hi, Rama. How are you?
I'm delightful, as always.
Yes, you are. Wow, what a powerful show, guys.
Well, listen, there is no show without my guests. I want to thank my guests. I want to thank my sister, Somali Inez, for making sure I had a guest tonight. Love you, loved one. And
thank you, guys, too.
And everyone out there within the sound of my voice, know that you have more power in you then you know. It is incumbent upon us to first learn how to love ourselves, accept yourself, appreciate yourself, and then demand that others do the same. And that thing you are looking for, once it is in you, it will come to you. Brother Rama, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure. Sister Somali, I hope to see you this weekend.
I hope to see you. We got that football game tomorrow going on. Rose Bowl Stadium, everybody. Let them know about the whole NFL thing.
Absolutely. There's an audition, one last audition for a lot of these young men coming out of college, kind of like a senior bowl game in the city of Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. And families, know that this has been a long journey for your young loved one, and know that he risk life and limb to play a sport he loves, but more than that, it is us making sure that we take care of our bodies and ourselves and each other to put each other in those positions where, you know what, this is my joy, this is my love. Continue to be that to each other, you guys. It is not.
It is not
about what you do for yourself. It is about what you do for others. And on that note, I am out here. Y'all have a great weekend.